Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. The number to call is 434-1790. The lines are pretty free, so please call if you want to talk. Morning. You're on the air. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. No? All right. Well, let's talk a little bit. So there was this debate we had last night that I started by talking about, and I found it interesting for another reason, and this has to do with debates that I've seen in other places. So very recently, we've seen debates in the United States of America that were really concerning to me as well in terms of the conduct of the participants in the debate, and again, whether or not people were able to learn about candidates on the basis of this discussion that was facilitated in the debates. I also would like to let people know that there was and people probably do know, there was a hurricane in the United States of America, Hurricane Zeta, and it has caused losses, destruction, and combined this with COVID and the fact that there is an election, one wonders how this will affect those who are planning to go out to vote in the United States of America, even though we are being informed that there are a record number of people who have voted early via mail and other methods. We don't have those facilities available to us in Barbados or the Caribbean, so it will be quite interesting to see what will happen with this U.S. election next week. Let's take a call. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Top of the day to you.
Oh, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. First of all, I comment on the few callers who spoke about the so-called debate yesterday evening.
Okay.
I don't think those who were supposed to have done the debating can be blamed if you are just given a question, you answer it.
Yes.
I don't think there's anything much to debate about a question.
So you enjoyed it?
Well, I wouldn't say I enjoyed it because okay. I was looking for a debate.
All right.
And I thought there would have been subject matters that people would have debated based on their knowledge and experience, but that didn't happen.
Okay.
The other thing is, I was under the impression that it was the Electoral and Boundaries Commission who would have put forward the debate or asked someone to do it on their behalf. I wasn't aware that any leader did it. Even now, I'm not aware of that. I've heard Glenn Clark, who has his way of criticizing the government that he... as a party he came up in, but he has his way of criticizing, and that is all he can do, I guess. I dare say that Miss Moore seemed to have done very well based on the ability of the others. She was a clear winner.
In your opinion, okay. So you think she was the winner and you had some problems with the quality of the questions? Is that what I'm getting from you?
The question did not lend for debate. That was my position.
Okay.
And I remember being in a debating society at school and it was far better than what I saw last night.
I was really expecting something else as well. And some of the WhatsApp participants have said similar, that they were not too pleased. I think one of the comments was poor Reiki.
Yeah.
But
that's a good term. I like poor Reiki. Those are words I like. Now, getting back what I would normally call about, I noticed that the Fair Trading Commission, through one of its spokespersons, are coming out regularly condemning some pyramid scheme, that, as they call it.
I'm so glad you mentioned this. Go ahead.
Yes. And but let me first tell you my concern. The Fair Trading Commission was put there to deal with certain matters as it relate to consumer issues.
Yes.
I happen to be one of the people who helped in the committee stages to set up the Fair Trading Commission. And I am aghast to see that for years, the Fair Trading Commission refused to do anything about advertisers and broadcasters who did the advertising for them, and newspapers too, who did everything wrong and illegal, and nothing was said. And I was wondering to myself, if it were that some of the people they would have had to come out against are people that they could get something out of, and therefore they're kept quiet. Because, first of all, I cannot see how a newspaper ad would be in a paper, and you say nothing about it. It is breaking the law. It is obvious. It's clear. It's breaking the law. You would hear a radio station carrying an ad. That, too, is breaking the law. But you say nothing about it. Is it because of the radio station, or is it because of the company that it is doing the advertising for? You may be able to get something from them. I was just wondering aloud, though.
So you're not pleased with the Fair Trading Commission's approach to some matters? And you're juxtaposing this with them focusing on pyramid schemes? So they should not be focusing on the pyramid schemes, the blessing looms and all of the other names, blessing circle. They shouldn't be focusing on this, in your view?
First of all, the Fair Trading Commission's role is to protect consumers. Mm-hmm. If a group of us as consumers decide to get into a scheme of our own, really and truly, to tell you the honest truth, it's got nothing to do with the Fair Trading Commission.
Well, actually, this one does, though. Because it falls the thing with the blessing looms, the blessing circles, and so on. This actually falls under the Consumer Protection Act, Section 23.
I don't know about that. That is something that you're bringing to me now. I never heard the term, and I don't know what it means.
So when they're talking about these pyramid schemes, they have been talking about these schemes in which people are being encouraged to put in a certain amount of money, let's say $100. You invite two friends, and within a month, you should get eight times that amount, which would be $800. And these have been springing up all over the world, across the United States. They've come up across the region in Trinidad. There are quite a few that have failed. And I know they're blossoming, or blooming, as they call them, as looms. They have been, you know, spreading across Barbados, and there is some concern that although there are people who are getting their money back, so they're putting in their $100 and they're getting their $800, that eventually these schemes will all collapse. And it is people who have put in their money and who are not going to be able to get it back who are going to suffer and may be very vulnerable. And because this has happened all around the world, and it's springing up probably because of COVID-19, and people may be out of work and they need to find ways to make as much money as they can quickly, I believe this is why the Fair Trading Commission has started to focus on this in particular. It does affect somewhat vulnerable groups in the society. This is not to take away from your point that they should be focusing on other things, but I certainly applauded the fact that they raise this issue. I know some people don't agree with me. They think I don't want them to get their blessing, but there are some dangers that come with these initiatives.
Well, I happen to know one person who has entered into a scheme similar to what you just described. And when I asked about, are you sure you want to get into this? How can you just put in $100 and get back $800 one time and then later down, 3,000. I mean, are you sure you want to do this? And she said, well, it is working for me. Yeah. Now, who am I now to say to her, you must stop it. Don't do it. It's wrong.
Well, it's not that it's wrong. It's that it's risky. And it's not just risky for the individual, but for your two friends, your two family members, or whoever that you bring in. The issue is you have to be able to continually find two people to bring in order for these looms or circles to get the money. So this is where the risk comes. And I think this is part of the reason why they're illegal. I know a lot of people have said other things should be illegal, that the biggest Ponzi scheme is insurance or the banking sector, and there are other areas that the FTC should be focusing its energy on. But I am a bit concerned about people's involvement in
but
some of these.
But you just said there it is illegal, and my limited understanding tells me for something to be illegal, there has to be a law broken. What law is being broken, may I ask?
Well, as I said, under Section 23 of the Consumer Protection Act in Barbados, to recruit people into these kinds of schemes is against the law, and you can be subject to fine or imprisonment.
Well,
I actually looked it up because several people have asked me about it, and you know what the problem is. Is it that the FTC and the government are just nosy and don't want people to make their money? But there actually is legislation that covers it, so it certainly is illegal. That this doesn't stop people do things that are illegal all the time, so it's not going to stop people.
Specifically mentions these things that you're talking about, because it mentions
pyramid schemes, and so which are these schemes in which
who
you
is saying it is a pyramid scheme though?
Well,
I mean that is what some of us are calling it.
Is
it called that?
Well, for their marketing purposes, those who want you to join it are not calling it one. You can draw a circle with someone in the middle, or you can draw a pyramid, but the effect is the same. I know people who are getting their money back are going to disagree, but there are risks attached to this, and I would want people to be very aware of the risks. If you cannot afford to lose your $100, your $1,000, then you may need to do something else with it.
I am in no way trying to denounce what you're saying, because you might have good reason for what you're saying. All I'm saying is my understanding of a pyramid is that it has a very small top and a very broad base.
And this does too.
But I didn't see that. Tell you the truth, I didn't. Because I saw just three people at a time getting into something, and each of the three must bring two other people with them. That is how I saw it.
And that's the broad base at the bottom.
And I don't regard that as a pyramid.
That's
a pyramid cannot function with three people at a time. Just impossible. Mm-hmm. A pyramid must have thousands at the base and a very small top, which might comprise three, but it must have a lot of people at the bottom.
But if every single person has to bring two people, aren't you going to end up with a lot of people at the bottom?
Oh, the involvement of other people will be there.
But there are only
three people in a circle at any one given
time.
No,
there certainly are not. So what I would encourage you to do and others to do is to go and research it a little bit, because they're not just three people involved.
Sure.
You may know three people, right? Involved.
But there are
many people, I mean, if you are involved in it, but there are many people who end up being involved in this, and in order for everyone to get back their money, you need to keep bringing people and bringing people and bringing people. And this is where it becomes risky and quite a difficult situation to sustain.
I would, however, urge the FTC to look at the advertisements, especially as it relates to car sales, that both advertiser and promoters in the form of companies such as Starcom Network, that they get involved in. They want to deal with that. Because it's illegal. That bit is illegal.
Okay.
I know that for sure.
Well, they have other things that they need to look at too, and we hope that they will. Thank you for your call. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. This is Friday, the 30th of October. Hi, I know we have Jeremy Stephen on the line, and we also have Carlos Fort. I think they wanted to come in to speak a little bit about the same call.
Yes, you could tell me if Carlos wants to go first.
No, you go ahead, Jeremy.
All right, no worries. So thanks for letting me in. I got a little worried just now when I heard the caller try to, explain pyramid schemes. Let me just use the correct term, in a way that seemed like, you know, the legality of it shouldn't be challenged, or the illegality. And I'm afraid that it really prompted me during my drive to ask, to speak about it, since, you know, these things can become rather dangerous, especially for the average, what you would call, and this is not necessarily a slight or anybody in particular, but unsophisticated investor. And when you talk about unsophisticated investors, they're just people who typically might not be able to process and assess how risky an investment may be. That is the likelihood you may lose the money. The problem with pyramid schemes isn't, because a pyramid scheme itself is just a form of something. But the issue is just how the money moves from, as he would say, the wide base to the thin top. You bring in more members and whatnot. It becomes an issue when they resemble what people call Ponzi schemes. And that's where the gray line becomes very, very stark for me. Number one, a Ponzi scheme simply means that money is being taken from someone. It may be persons you're bringing in. It may be persons who are being brought in by persons you're brought in. And pretty much that money is being used to pay persons who have been in the scheme beforehand. So why I say now that there could be a gray area, you would know that there's a lot of Forex investment schemes that are going on where people are paying for training. It's a pyramid scheme. Persons are coming in. I myself, I'm not part of like these models, but they're coming in. You're being brought in. You're paying someone who's been in before you or brought you in to help train you, or you get access to some training material, and the money that you take can be invested, and if you have the skills, you're invested and you're getting a return. Those kind of schemes are pretty much more sustainable than what the Blessing Circle is presenting. The Blessing Circle is pretty much a Ponzi scheme by definition of the only way persons who are in the system can make money. Depends on who they brought in and not necessarily that they're creating something of value for sale. So there's always this huge risk that eventually there won't be enough persons to bring in to sustain the wealth of those who've come in before, versus if you've just been taking money and putting it into Forex and pretty much what you're doing is investing against the entire world, as opposed to a relatively small system where you're bringing people in, and the hope is that you can continually bring more people in as time goes on, and those people continue to generate wealth for those above. I wouldn't want to start a scheme, for instance, Christina, if I can't get wealthier off of it. Not that it sustains my living, but it brings me some increasing return on investment. Else, there's no reason to take on the risk of starting the system to begin with. And I don't think anybody wants to get into a Blessing Circle just to sustain their standard of living. Else, there would be no reason to do it. You just might go and work. You might just go and earn a small wage and sustain.
But the issue now, though, Jeremy, is that people are out of work. And people are quite vulnerable because of COVID. And this is why these things have been springing up all over. Because if you were in work, you may be less motivated to take this risk. But if somebody tells you that your $100 is going to turn into $800, all you have to do is find two more people with $100. And you don't know how else you are going to get $800 in a month, this becomes very attractive. And my concern is that people who have less space to lose their money are the ones who become very vulnerable in these schemes. People who cannot afford to lose their $100, if they get it back, okay, great. But if they do not get it back, that $100 means a lot to them. Sometimes these schemes are asking for $1,000, $2,500 for initial so-called investment.
But there's a funny thing about this, right? If you are targeting persons who are without income right now, then it means inherently the system will fail to work eventually, especially the longer people stay out of work, right? Because you're asking persons to take, newer persons who are very vulnerable, to take money they barely have to sustain the living and the wealth generation of those persons above. So it's probably the worst kind of exploitation that anybody can think of. But you see, persons who get into it, and I tell students that, well, my former students that would ask me about these all the time, if you must, especially if there's no illegality attached to it, be the person to get in early.
Yes. If you are, the later you get in, the more
everybody
risky.
Knows about it, exactly. If everybody knows about it, you are about to lose money. Yeah. If everybody knows about it, you're about to lose money. The benefit comes from bringing people into the system, and that's it. But there's no real wealth generation outside of that. Once you start bringing in very vulnerable people without the means to sustainable income to support those above, then the system inevitably fails.
Now, there's a question here, Jeremy. Sorry to cross you. But there's a question, and I've heard this one often. People are asking, what's the difference between this and a meet and turn, your susu? And I have tried to explain it to people that I know, my friends. This is also one of the concerns I had with the BOSS program being called a meet and turn, that this is not a meet and turn. It's not a susu. Some of these blessing looms and circles and so on are also being called modern day susu and meet and turns. So some of the reports are very concerned that the people who are setting these up are using the kinds of things that we are familiar with in order to draw people into them. So can you tell us a bit about the difference between something like this and a meet and turn?
So a meet and turn, everybody knows the function, but I think people don't understand how money moves in a meet and turn. Yes, fundamentally, you bring more people into a meet and turn. The difference is, however, is that everybody shares the same level of income that you put in. So for instance, if I came in month one, I'm the first person, but I'm going to be the last person to get a payout, then logically, I'm going to put 12 equal payments into this susu, and in month 12, I get back all my money. I don't get an increase based on anybody else but myself. What I put in, I get back out. This is the reason, for instance, I'll say this publicly, I challenge the notion of susus in terms of wealth generation. They had their time. I like the system. I like the fact that it gets people to invest together. But I always say that a susu, in my mind, only works if everybody takes whatever they put in and they try to generate interest on top of it, or they invest money together in something, property, or business, whatever, like Arabic banking.
But they're not really for wealth generation. A lot of people use them to meet their obligations. So I don't think many people are trying to. But if you know you got land tax due at a certain time, you can. This is one way of saving your money, ensuring that you don't touch it. And when it's time for you to pay your land tax, it's your turn, you pay your land tax, and you're sorted. So this is more of a sustenance or survival strategy to me than an investment. Yeah. And that's how, in some ways, I would differentiate this kind of marketing of these other things as investments. I don't think they're not investments.
I agree. But you see, the problem, all right, the person who benefits mainly from a susu is always the person that can draw against it. In other words, borrow against it and put back the money later. So for me, that person benefits. But the person who draws later down the line pretty much could just put the money down. If they don't have a bank account, put it under the mattress, which is not good advice on my part, and get the same benefit if they have the discipline. The issue you're saying is the discipline. So I agree with you in terms of discipline, and that's a major benefit. But for me, I think it's rather, let me get back on course, because Carlos has something very meaningful to say. I know this, but...
Callers that are waiting patiently. Go ahead, Jeremy.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry about that. But I'll end on this, okay? I'll say this. To make that comparison to susu is, as far as I'm concerned, and I hope I'm not censored by saying this, it is bottom feeding. Is bottom feeding behavior to draw people's emotional attachments to something that has sustained, to use your term, many a family in this country, and for the benefit of a few who managed to get in early and want to generate wealth off of people's insecurity at this time. Yeah. It is bottom feeding behavior, and if anybody takes issue with me saying that, it has nothing to do with VOB. This is my issue as an academic, okay?
Thanks for calling. I really enjoyed that. Carlos, do you want to say something on this? This is Carlos Ford.
No, thank you.
Okay.
I'm not going to comment on that. I think you covered it.
Okay. So can we come back to you, Carlos? Because I know you want to talk about this central bank report.
Sure.
But before that...
Yes. You can take some calls and come back to me. That's fine.
Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Let's take a call. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Hines.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know how you like to hear your voice.
Okay.
But this morning, I want to ask two or three questions. One, early this year, our Prime Minister told us, I don't want to quote her wrong, did our Prime Minister say there'd be the budget later this year or there'd be no budget this year? Which one she said? You can remember?
No, I can't remember. Tell me. You remember?
I know she commented on it. That is a little around the estimate time.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen signs that not only the budget and things like that. I've seen some of the signs that it's getting frightening, being involved or around politics all my life.
Mm-hmm. What's frightening?
Now, every minute you're hearing about things that cost money, you can name it, I think you're hearing plenty of them. And you're hearing a lot in St. George right now.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things cost money. From the new people at the schools to the people who are going to help the old people, which they call a stipend at $300 a week, to move in nursing. And we could go on and go on about the things that is being planned and some that have started that cost money, including advisors.
Yes.
I'm hearing about one now, and I'm wondering if the figure I'm hearing is true. Because I can remember on the last government, I was hearing about a gentleman like Transport Board that was getting $20,000 a month. But then when the inquiry was going on here a couple of weeks ago, under Mr. Apley Chernick,
mm-hmm.
I learned that the gentleman was only getting $12,000. So it could be hearing salaries that might not be true. Because the whole of Barbados was told that this Trinidadian man working at Transport Board was getting $20,000 a month. What I want to find out, around March this year, the Foreign Affairs Minister, Mr. Walcott, told us that the Treasury have gathering $500,000 less. That was in March, about 7 months ago. I am hearing, and everybody know, everything is slow in Barbados. So that means the government ain't getting any much money. I even believe people who got land tax must be behind in payments because they're not working and things. So money ain't coming in. What I want to find out, where the money is coming from with all these things that I'm hearing. You have an idea?
Where the money is coming from? Well, it's coming from taxes. We have borrowed some money as well.
Sorry?
We have borrowed money, the government, this is, and there's still tax revenue. We are in an IMF program at present.
May I ask a question then? Because I never knew it before. A lot of things happen that I don't understand. You could take up foreign reserves and use it for domestic purposes before going to Parliament.
Is that what is happening?
No, you told them at the bar. Where the money at the bar coming from? I know that the bar won't say, which is, it started as for savings, then it went to meet and turn, and then it went to boss.
That form is borrowing from the workers and from people in Barbados who are willing to purchase bonds. So that is that only a form of borrowing, yes.
That only bring in between $3 to $4 million amount.
Mm-hmm.
The type of money government is spending, that is only $3 to $4 million. And what I'm saying is this here. I would like this government here. Someone asked earlier, where is all those people at the university and things like that? Sometimes people believe, people think that's a bad question. It's not. For all the years that I know myself, we have people at the university used to keep business informed. You could go back to McLean, Vendor McLean, and before the government changed, we had people from Trinidad, Jamaica, the University of West Indies, keeping people informed of what is going on in Barbados.
Okay.
But at the moment, everything seems to be shut down and dead. That is why then we will have a debate like what we had last night. Okay. Because people are choked up with things inside them. And you could hear that gentleman last night. He's so hurt at what's going on.
He's hurt. That's what you heard? It's hurt.
That's what it sounds to me.
Oh, okay. That's
because let me say this. The worst thing you could do, like what you heard last night, the cutting was bad because the little pieces that came out before the cut, anybody that could think knew where he was going.
Mm.
Now, for instance, the one at the harbor, with the containers. Have you got anywhere in Barbados people believe that it should be done? That containers should be leaving and going at people's premises then to be searched? And that was cut. I don't know where it was cut.
It wasn't cut. It's obviously what he said after that was cut.
That's what I mean. I don't know what he said after. But what I'm saying is most of the things that the gentleman said is things that I worry about too.
Okay.
So, I mean, it leaves us to wonder, and people believe that he can't speak no more. Although he might be saying the wrong things. It's how people might look at it. Let me ask this question and allow someone, because the gentleman, who's the gentleman that is there ready to have a conversation?
This is Carlos Fort, and he wants to talk to us a little bit about the Central Bank of Barbados report.
He's the gentleman from Canada?
Well, he's from Barbados, but he's currently in Canada.
Oh, yes. You and him was on a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, yes, we were.
And I put you all in my good book.
Oh, well.
No, you hear what he just said?
What's
then
that?
You wanted to go to him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, let a couple of callers come and we could talk later.
Yes.
Decency. You have to respect people like that. But let me get to my final one and let you get to Mr. Ford.
Okay. Ford, go ahead.
When a person becomes an ambassador of any country, that person represents the country and all the people, maybe where they are located, like, I call it directly. Liz Thompson, who is at the United Nations at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe she should be on a political platform knowing that her job, although it was a political appointed job, should be on a political platform?
Mm.
I want to hear from you directly. What do you think?
Yeah, that's quite a good point. The idea behind our foreign representatives, our diplomats, is that they are representing the country in its entirety, and one assumes a level of neutrality. One assumes. However, we know in the systems that we operate in the Caribbean, that there are people who move into these positions not out of the Foreign Service, because you can have ambassadors and diplomats coming straight out of the Foreign Service, but from political parties, those affiliated with and members of political parties. So there is this overlap that may concern some people. But, the role of these ambassadors is to represent the interests of the country well abroad. So one hopes that this is what our diplomats abroad are actually doing. But yeah, I can see how, this overlap can be a little bit concerning, that on the one hand you are a diplomatic representative and on the other on a political platform campaigning for particular candidates. It's a little bit messy.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ms. Thanks. And Mr. Ford, have a good day.
All right, thank you for calling. Let's go to Mr. Ford at this point. Good morning, Carlos.
Hey, good morning, Dr. Haynes. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How about you?
I'm doing well. Good morning to Barbadians as well. I called to comment on the central bank's report. But before I do so, I'll quickly comment on the debate. The debate I found to have been quite comical.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, if you were looking for comedic relief, the debate did just that. For the most part, I thought it was quite farcical. And I would also wish to suggest that Reverend Gates Tate shouldn't mislead the public with respect to the genesis of the debates. My recollection is that the Prime Minister at a press conference announced the debates as a fait accompli, that there will be debates. We later learned that the other political parties weren't consulted, and some of the other major parties or the major party chose not to participate. And that was, in fact, unfortunate. I think, given what we saw last night, we could all agree that the debate was not needed. It focused on national issues, and it seemed as if all the participants were ill-equipped to engage on those issues. Enough about that. Certainly, as it relates to the economy, of course, the most of the world is gripped in unprecedented recession as a result of shutdown measures associated with containing the COVID-19 pandemic. Barbados, no different. the central bank has reported that the economy declined by about 16%, certainly unprecedented in our post-independence history, and likely unprecedented prior as well. But I had a few concerns. I thought the report in general was a good report in terms of the how comprehensive it was in reporting to the public. However, there was one glaring omission. The central bank failed to report the unemployment rate. So we still don't know what the official unemployment rate is. From my time at the central bank and at the ministry there, I would imagine that they do have the unemployment rate. And I think it is unacceptable that it hasn't been published. And I would like to use this forum to ask the government and the central bank to let Barbadians know what the official unemployment rate is. Notwithstanding that, there are a few things jumped out at me. One of which is, notwithstanding the scale of the decline in the economy, the government's fiscal deficit, which overlapped the last 6 months for the first 6 months of the financial year, was just over $21 million. That's quite a small deficit. And just to juxtapose some of the comments of your previous caller as well, he made reference to all of this money that the government is spending. You can see from $20 million deficit that the government isn't really spending that much money, which, to my mind, underscores the fact that the government is has been quite successful, it would seem, in its public relations. There's been a lot of announcements, but it doesn't appear as if much has happened by way of implementing many of those announcements. And so that, practically speaking, to date, I would suggest that the government's response to the economic decline is so far woefully inadequate. Woefully inadequate. Mm-hmm. We are talking about the $21 million deficit. Just to put that in context, prior to the previous administration, under the Onata administration, the deficit pretty much averaged around $250-300 million, most of which was capital spending. In the present circumstances, what one would expect is that the government would increase its capital spending quite significantly. Some may call that countercyclical policies or stimulus. Those terms may be a misnomer in the current circumstances, but in an effort to mitigate the worst impacts of the economic decline, certainly the one would expect that the government would increase its expenditure.
Should spend more.
Should definitely be spending more at this point in time. I think there's a lot of scope for increasing direct income supports to individuals.
Tell us what those mean, just to make sure everybody understands it, people like me.
So for starters, I think the government should extend the unemployment benefits to 12 months in these circumstances. Now, I am aware that the requisite national insurance fund would not be sufficiently capitalized to bear that expense. Government would, however, out of tax revenues or its borrowing, top up the national insurance fund so that it would be able to finance extended unemployment benefits. Other examples of direct income supports would be circumstances where there would be those who would not have qualified for unemployment benefits for whatever reason, that the government can essentially expand the welfare spending capacity, or it doesn't necessarily have to be true welfare, but to provide those individuals with a check so as to give them some level of income. But more importantly, I would prefer to see the government increasing its capital expenditure that is fixing the roads. Mm-hmm. Of course, we know that there is a need for increasing water distribution capacity. There have been talk about construction of a desalination plant. There's some capital expenditure that's going to be needed with respect to upgrading the South Coast sewage plant. And there are a number of projects that are in the pipeline and have been in the pipeline for quite some time. This is a good opportunity to advance those projects and generate some economic activity within the economy.
Something has just been brought to my attention here. October 30th, 2020, IMF reaches staff level agreement on the fourth review of Barbados economic program under the Extended Fund Facility. And the bullet points here say the IMF team reaches a staff level agreement with the Barbadian authorities. The government has lowered its primary balance target to -1% of GDP for 2020-21 to fight the coronavirus pandemic. And lastly, to help finance the emerging fiscal deficit and related balance of payments need, an augmentation of the extended fund facility of about US $66 million is proposed.
So the government has received some of that funding. So notwithstanding the small deficit, according to the central bank report, foreign financing over that six-month period was in the vicinity of $317 million. So you can see that certainly government has financing at its disposal. The previous mm-hmm. caller made reference to some of that funding as well. He asked the question, can the government take from the foreign reserves to spend? I think there's some misunderstanding with respect to quote-unquote funding from the foreign reserves. So
yes.
When the government borrows money from abroad or receive grants from abroad or what have you, of course, that money is in foreign exchange. Those funds would be held at the central bank, and they would, for all intents and purposes, going to the foreign reserves. Mm-hmm. But those funds would be borrowed for different reasons, maybe program spending, maybe capital expenditure, etc. And it would be, converted into Barbados dollars for the purposes of government spending mm-hmm. within the economy. And that would lend itself to drawing down the foreign reserves to the extent that there is insufficient or that spending exceeds the foreign exchange that's available within the banking system when the money is converted. So it's not a case of taking money from the foreign reserves. Likewise, where there's excess foreign exchange in the commercial banking system, that excess would go to the central bank and help to increase the foreign reserves, so to speak. Certainly good that the
you hear the music, Carlos. That means we have to go to a break. We have the regional roundup. So can you give us a quick sentence to sum up?
There's quite a lot more that I would wish to say on the central bank report in particular.
Well, what I'll do is we can come back to you after the regional roundup.